Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll speak to us today through your word and help us to respond in the name of Jesus. Amen. So being hospitable is it's a very joyous thing to do. It's a very rewarding thing to do. But it's also fraught with awkward moments. And I remember when I was 19 years old, I was asked to be an usher at my mate's wedding. And I didn't know any of the family. And I went to the front of the church at the beginning of the event. And the first lady that came in had a wide hat on. And I said to her, "Are you a friend of the bride or the groom?" And she looked at me rather horrified, put her nose in the air and said, "I am the bride's mother," and stormed to the front of the church. It wasn't a good start to my job as an usher. And I remember another occasion when I was introducing a new colleague at work who'd just started, and I was introducing to people going around the desks at work, and I thought I better not miss anyone out. And I came to a desk, and I realized to my horror, I didn't know the guy's name. So I was kind of I fumbled my way through, and I think it made me forget the other guy's name. So it was one of those classic kind of moments. And I don't know if any of you remember the Fawlty Towers episode. It's quite an old 70s classic sort of comedy, but Basil Fawlty invites a lot of special guests to a very special evening. And he's about to introduce two important guests, and one of them has a facial twitch and really throws him. And he kind of then tries to bungle his way out of it. He says, "This is..." And the guy says, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that." And he says, "Oh, didn't you? What a shame!" And tries to carry on. It's absolutely classic. There's so many really good things in Fawlty Towers. But it can be quite awkward offering hospitality. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And you might want to sort of ponder on some of the funny things that have happened to you. So I want to start off by talking about the hospitality of God. And on the 11th of June this year, and I don't know whether there's a slide that can come up on the screen, Yvonne and I, my wife and I, were very fortunate to be able to go to the Sea of Galilee to a church at a place called Tagpa. And this celebrates one of the greatest acts in hospitality done by Jesus, and we heard it in our gospel passage this morning. And a huge crowd had been following Jesus. 4,000 of him had been following Jesus. And they had just witnessed in Mark chapter 7, which precedes the passage we've read, they just witnessed Jesus miraculously healing a deaf man with a speech impediment. Jesus had touched the man's ears, he'd touched the man's tongue, and he'd miraculously healed him. And it says at the end of Mark's gospel, "The crowd were astonished beyond measure." No wonder the crowd had stayed with Jesus so long. 3 days, it says in our gospel reading. And they hadn't even thought to eat. They didn't want to miss a moment with this amazing man. And it says in the passage that Jesus had compassion on them. He knew they needed to eat. He knew how far some of them had traveled. And he didn't want them to go away hungry. But for the disciples, it must have been the ultimate hospitality nightmare. And you can kind of imagine some of the conversations they had with Jesus. "Jesus, we don't have enough food. This is so embarrassing. What are you doing?" But Jesus just made the crowd sit down. And he blessed what little food they had and gave it to the disciples to start giving out. And again, my imagination thought about how the disciples would deal with that. I can imagine them saying, "Would you mind just taking a small amount? Or would you mind not having any?" But the food kept on coming. Jesus' hospitality poured out in abundance, and he miraculously multiplied the loaves and fishes. And everyone was satisfied. And 7 baskets were filled with the leftovers. And now I can imagine another slightly more familiar awkward hospitality moment. There's too much food left. And the disciples would be saying, "Please eat more. We can't deal with all this food." And I'm sure we've all been there. And Yvonne and I were very fortunate to stand at the place. Well, it's gone now, but the slide on the screen. We were able to stand on the lake near Tagpa. We were surrounded by the same hillsides that Jesus would have seen in his time, the Golan Heights. The village of Capernaum was just literally around the lake, and we'd been there. And it turns out the present church at Tagba was built on top of a much earlier church. And they did some archaeology in the 1930s and discovered this mosaic that had been made. And there's a picture of it in the next slide, if we can get that up. It's a picture of the loaves and fishes. And in fact, I've got a poster which I brought home with me, which is what's kind of come up on the slide. It's the two fishes and the basket of loaves which Jesus used to feed the 4,000 people. And I thought it was a really good memento to bring back and remind me about being hospitable like Jesus. And I'm going to hand this round so you guys can have a look. There it is on the screen. So the hospitality of Jesus at Tagba mirrors the scandalous hospitality. This is what Bishop Stephen Cottrell, the language he uses. It mirrors the scandalous hospitality of our God, our Father. And Chris, in his talk on the last holy habits that we had about being still, recommended a book by Stephen Cottrell called Do Nothing to Change Your Life. And obviously this is a chance to slow down and a chance to meditate about God and meditate about our faith. And in that book, Stephen makes a staggering claim. He says this. He says, God loves us and nothing can separate us from his love. You don't need to earn it. There is nothing you can do to stop it. There is nothing you need to do to receive it. Save, accept it as the free gift that it is. And if you don't accept it, or you don't understand it, or hear about it, or you reject it, it is still there waiting for you, and you are loved just the same. And this is essentially what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. Wow. Unconditional, unlimited love, just like Jesus' food at Tagba. And Stephen Cottrell goes on to say that Christians believe that Jesus was not just a brilliant speaker, like on the Sermon on the Mount around the Lake of Galilee. He was not just a miracle worker, healing the deaf and the dumb, and multiplying loaves and fishes. He was God himself coming down onto earth. And the message Jesus pours out on the cross with his own shed blood is that we are loved, accepted, and forgiven. We stand clean and renewed before God because of the cross. But the really wonderful news is that through the resurrection of Jesus, he's alive today and wants to be in relationship with us and wants to pour his hospitality out to us. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says this. It says, Jesus will stand at the door of every person knocking. And if we hear his voice and open the door, he will come in and eat with us, sharing our lives with us. And Stephen Cottrell says it is in his book, he says there is such a thing as a free lunch. And God himself has set the table and everyone is invited. And that's the gospel. So we've talked about the hospitality of God. What do we do if we accept, what happens if we accept that hospitality? So in the passage from Acts, we witness Lydia listening to Paul, Silas, and Timothy outside the gate at Philippi. They were sitting comfortably on the Sabbath day down by the river, listening to the wonderful news about Jesus, just like we've heard today from Bishop Stephen Cottrell. She listened. She heard the voice of Jesus. She opened her door, and it says in the passage that God opened her heart with his love. And it made her listen more eagerly. It made her want to get baptized along with her whole household, and it wanted her to offer hospitality back. My own story, and I've told this many times, of accepting God's hospitality happened as two amazing Christians in this church, and I always embarrass them every time I stand up, Katie and Piers Coutts invited us into their home to run an Alpha course. They were running an Alpha course in the 90s, and I went along. I was comfortable, I was welcomed, I was well fed, and I was captivated by the teaching. And I opened my door a crack and in poured the love of God through the person of Jesus. And I remember going home that night so excited with what I'd heard, and I went to tell my wife Yvonne about the new love that I felt. I was reading a story in a publication that came through our door this week. I don't know how many other people had this publication. It's called War Cry by the Salvation Army. And in there, there was a story about a young musician called Aaron. And this is what he said about his story. He said, "When I was at university, I made a lot of mistakes. And I remember sitting at home with this bottomless pit feeling of guilt. I randomly flicked open a Bible and it landed on this verse. And it happened to be a verse from Psalm 103. And the verse said, 'The Lord will forgive our sins as far as the east is from the west.' And in that moment, Aaron, in his bottomless pit of despair, opened his door a crack and in poured the love of God. And Aaron said he started to cry, and he was eager to read more about this forgiveness available through Jesus. And his life changed, and he summed it up by saying this: 'Living with the pressure of trying to impress someone is gone. I now live knowing that I'm loved.'" So in the first two of these life-changing stories, the hospitality, that's my story and the story of Lydia, the hospitality of God is amplified by the hospitality of other believers. And Jesus uses what we bring to multiply. He used the loaves that were brought at Tagba and multiplied them to have compassion on 4,000 people. At Philippi, the hospitality of Lydia was used to create a new home church where more people could come and hear the good news about Jesus. And that went on to become a thriving church in Philippi. So that's what can happen when we accept the hospitality of God. So what's our response to this? Well, one of the responses is to offer hospitality back. And therefore, hospitality is the essential calling of Christians and of God's church, of us. And we need to look no further than 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 to 7. That lists hospitality as an essential quality of a church leader. And Chris and Debbie Hill model this so well for us. They really do. And we thank God for their example. But hospitality is a natural response of all of us as we reflect God's love that's been poured into our lives. Another article that really struck me in the War Cry magazine this week was how teams of people from the Salvation Army went out to serve refreshments to firefighters who were fighting a blaze on Saddleworth Moor in the north of England. And these firefighters needed a break. They needed refreshment in that dangerous job. And we know that God will be multiplying those acts of hospitality in the lives of those brave firefighters. And we pray and thank God for them. But being hospitable is not easy. And like all holy habits, we need to practice this skill and make it a habit of living for Jesus. Another really important thing is we need to accept and receive hospitality, not just give it out. And in our passage from Acts, Lydia offers Paul, Silas, and Timothy hospitality. But she is a Gentile. She's a foreigner. And they are Jews, and they don't mix, or they didn't mix in those ancient world. So she needs to do a lot of persuading, and that's what it says. She had to do a lot of persuading to get them to come along, and they had to get over their cultural reservations to come along to the church. So it's really important to receive hospitality because God wants to bless us through offering hospitality and through receiving it. And I know we were both blessed when we offered hospitality to Chris and Debbie in those early days. But Jesus perfectly demonstrates accepting hospitality when he's invited to Simon the Pharisee's house in Luke chapter 7. And there's a woman there who bathes his feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. She was a sinner and unclean in the eyes of Simon the Pharisee. But Jesus saw her gesture as so beautiful and so much better than the hospitality that Simon offered Jesus. So it's really important to receive hospitality. So how do we nurture and express this gift individually and as a church? Well, a really good book, and there are two or three good books on the bookstall today, but one of them that I've been looking at is a book called Messy Hospitality by a lady called Lucy Moore. And she is the founder of Messy Church, which is an expression of church, and we do that, and Stephen does that in the village churches. And although it's aimed at the messy church expression of church, it's obviously got lots of good stuff in it for a traditional church like St. Mary's. So I'd really like to recommend this book. And there's some other books on the bookstall as well. There's one called Risking Hospitality in Your Church and a couple of others as well. So do have a look after the service at these. And Lucy Moore tells us that the word hospitality comes from the Latin that means friendliness to guests. The word hospital originated as a shelter for the needy. And interestingly, the word guest has its roots from an ancient word meaning stranger or enemy. So being hospitable is a dangerous and risky business at times, as my various faux pas and Basil Fawlty demonstrates. But I remember being reassured when I actually went to Soul Survivor, the camp that Chris said our young people are at the moment, a few years ago. And I heard two of the leaders, Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft, telling us a hilarious story about their bungled attempts to tell people about Jesus in a shopping center. They were cracking up at each other as each of them tried hard to just do what? To be hospitable and tell people about Jesus. And it was a hilarious story, and everyone was rolling about. But at the end, Mike said, "It's okay to make a fool of yourself for Jesus, bathed in his love." And I thought that was so liberating, so wonderful and so exciting. And I know the young people on that day did as well. And Lucy's great book has all sorts of bits of good advice. She describes the feeling we are trying to instill in our guests as being satisfyingly hugged. And I really like that image. She describes a good welcomer, which is a really important phase of hospitality, welcoming people, as being an alongsider. And Lucy writes, not being overbearing, but gently coming alongside people or families, making them feel safe and loved and showing that we wish to share God's church and share hospitality with them. My daughter, Hannah, who some of you will know, volunteered for a charity called Care for Calais over the summer. She spent a week in Calais, and it's a charity that offers direct aid to thousands of refugees living in makeshift shelters. And Hannah and a number of other volunteers visited a camp that they visited during the day in the evening, and they were overwhelmed with the hospitality and the sharing of their food that happened there. And they didn't have very much. And it struck me that sometimes we may feel we don't have very much. We may not feel we've been here very long. We may not feel particularly equipped. But we can all do our bit to come alongside people and try and overwhelm them with God's hospitality. A really good way of practicing hospitality is to open up our homes that God has blessed us with. He's blessed us with a home of some sort. And it's really good to invite people around for a meal. And I really want to encourage you, as part of this study that you're going to do, Holy Habits, to try that, to invite someone, maybe at church today. It's a really good way of building relations. Obviously, when we invited Chris and Debbie around to our house, that was a really good way to get to know them. It's a really good way to build relations, to share our lives, to talk about our faith, even in some cases to reconcile differences. And so much of Jesus' ministry is done over a shared meal. And Lucy Moore says, as followers of Christ, we must become hosts of Christ himself when we do the same as Jesus. I remember Derek Wareham at Christchurch last week, who comes to the 9 o'clock service. He was telling me as he thought about this hospitality, holy habit that we were going to be talking about, he thought of a time when a church that we're twinned with in Germany had come over a few years beforehand, and they remembered who they'd met, and they wanted to go and meet Derek when they came over to visit, and he was overwhelmed by the people who came and invited him out. And there's much joy to be had when we offer hospitality. A couple of weeks ago at work, there was a guy at work, one of the engineers at work, who got a phone call from his wife. Her brother had had a really nasty accident. He'd been rushed to Addenbrooke Hospital. So his wife drove into work. It was during the summer break. And she had to bring the kids with them. But they were so worried about what was going to happen or what they were going to find at the hospital. They didn't really want to take the kids with them. So they left them at work. And some really lovely people looked after this 10-year-old and this 8-year-old during our work day. And apparently a normally dull, very dull meeting on one afternoon turned out to be such fun. They basically had a game of hangman running with the kids. And it was such a good meeting. Everyone had such a wonderful time in such a difficult set of circumstances. So God does bless us when we do that. So just to sort of sum up, and then I've got a question for you guys to ponder. So God's love and abundant hospitality through his son Jesus is a free gift for everyone to receive. We just have to open the door. And when we open the door, something miraculous and beautiful happens when God's love pours in and we're changed. And often this change happens as a result of hospitality of others. And so being hospitable is a natural response of the love that's poured into us. And it's good to try and make that a habit as individuals in a church. It's important to receive hospitality, be prepared to receive hospitality from others, and we need to practice and learn together as a church. So what I want to do is just put a question for you guys to ponder on your pews. See if you can chat to some people near you for a few minutes about one of the questions that's in the little booklet you'll get. And this is, you know, one of the things that you think are key to a good welcome in church. So just have a bit of a chat amongst yourselves, and then I'll come back and finish with a prayer.